Thank you, Samuel. What a joy to have a right relationship with our God of heaven, the holy God of heaven. Hebrews in chapter 12, we looked at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first verses of the chapter. We come down to the verses 15, and it talked about our need to examine ourselves, and particularly, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. He goes on and says, lest there be a fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. A man that came to the place and there was no place of turning back. He said, so there's a lot of warnings in the book of Hebrews in regards to testing and examining our faith. But when we come to verse 18 last week, and we see that it starts there, a comparison, a contrast between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. When it says in verse 18, but you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. And there we looked through those verses and we saw there the contrast between the Israelites at Mount Sinai and the New Testament Christian. This is clearly divided between that and then verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of our living God. Instead of the great fear by which they approached the presence of God, there at Mount Sinai, the law at Mount Sinai where God brought the law to them, there when Moses went up into the mount, it showed men their sin. It showed them how they had offended God. It also showed them some of the magnitude of God's power that was displayed, as it said, they fled from his presence, away from the mountain. As we live under the mercy and the patience of God, men who are not acquainted with his word don't realize the dire consequences of his wrath to come. There is a coming a time, when the Lord will no longer strive with men. There in verse 18 to 21, we saw that Mount Sinai was a mountain that could be touched. The physical mountain that was there, they could walk on it. It stood before him. And yet it was a mountain that it said, as it was described, we look back in Exodus, it was described there as a mountain that burned with fire. Talked about the blackness, the darkness. Description, I believe, of the immense difference between distance and that there is between sinful man and a holy God. Talked there of the tempest, a demonstration of the awesome power, the destructive power, caused them to shake within themselves. The trumpet, it spoke of the trumpet in verse 19. The authority, the sound of alarm to call their attention. And then as the Lord spoke, verse 19, the end of that verse, it says, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They said, don't speak to us anymore. They called for a mediator. They called for Moses to be their mediator because God's fear was upon them. They were not able to endure, it says there in verses 20 and 21. They couldn't endure that which was commanded. They couldn't go anywhere near the mountain, even if a beast had said touched it then, that beast would be slain. Moses himself quaked before the Lord. And we can kind of conclude it, oh, that men of our generation could understand the greatness of our holy God and how completely they're separated from Him. We see around us that men see the awesome display of His power. They deny Him. When they do recognize Him, then they curse Him and they blame Him. How desperately they need that mediator, the only one between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But that brings us to verse 22. And we just briefly run over those verses last week. But it says, but we are come unto Mount Zion. Not speaking of the city, that's one that is not of the earth. It's the city of the living God. Mount Sinai was only a way station on the way for the Israelites because it was that was because of the sin that separated them from God. But now comes the eternal. Zion is not another way station along the way. It's a final place. It's a place of completion, a place of perfection. He calls here under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Remember it said in the 11th chapter here in the 10th verse about Abraham. Talked about Abraham as he journeyed here on the earth. And we know there were promises that were made to Abraham about the land that the Lord would give him. But Abraham looked beyond that. And the 10th verse said that he looked for a city whose foundation, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham in his faith, Abraham looked beyond this life. He looked beyond to that which, a city that man would not build, but a city that God would build. I think Abraham recognized that all the riches of the earth, those things that were his. Abraham was he left the land where he was as a rich man. But he recognized they were only temporary. He didn't hold to them. Instead, he dwelled in tents. He could live in a tent for a few years upon the earth. I think of the song, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? That's okay, because our eyes should be on God's building of the future. It said God is the builder. Here is a city he looked for, a city that had foundations. And here in this passage, he said, we are come unto the city of the living God, where God is the builder. Do you want what God builds, or do you want what you build? God's buildings are eternal. Ours are only temporary. Ours are only here for a short time. Of course, we've been made mindful of that in recent days and years. Or here this year, we saw whole towns just about wiped out with a tornado. All of it man had worked and labored and built upon. And you know the tragedy it was to those homes and families to come and find it's all gone. Everything they owned was gone and wiped out in just a couple minutes. One of the prizes of our country was the World Trade Center. Those great buildings that stood high above the city, in all of their strength of steel and concrete, and yet one well-placed airplane brought them down. That should be mindful to us as we should recognize that all that we now see and know is going to be gone. When you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about that the heavens, verse 7, the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word that kept in store the waters that brought the flood upon the earth in the days of Noah, by the same word is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. And the 12th verse of that says, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Everything that we now know is going to be destroyed. And yet we hold on to it like it's life itself. We have, and that's what this passage is talking about, something that the believer has. We are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. The living God, the one that is eternal in the heavens. He is life. He is our life. When the Lord Jesus said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, life is in him. Outside of him, there is only death. There is no hope. There is no future. There's only destruction. It is appointed unto man who wants to die. And after that, the judgment. For man, there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Where have you put your trust? Where are your eyes set? We have our God. Our God, the city of the living God. He is the living God. He is the one to whom, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we have seen in this passage. Under the heavenly Jerusalem, under the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of our God, something that God is going to build, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is not a rebuilding of the man-built city of Jerusalem. It's not the picking up of those stones and not the rebuilding of that city. But this is a new Jerusalem. This is the city built by God. Psalm 48:1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The psalmist was looking ahead to not that revered city of Jerusalem that was that where they built the temple and where the place there where the Lord there met with them. But he's speaking of a city that is going to descend down from heaven. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. You see, all that we now know is going to be destroyed. The heavens, the new earth, those things that we see and know, and that's going to be gone, but it's going to be all new. It said, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, and looking at this and reading this, we might just go to that chapter next week. I mean, that is a... You know, we've been looking at, they had their eyes set on the Lord. Where are our eyes set? What is our concept of what is ahead for the believer and those precious things that we have? Isaiah 64 and verse 4 said, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for thee. It hasn't even entered into your heart. You can't even dream of what God has prepared for us that is ahead. So, hearing this, and we'll leave it there at this moment, but he said, you're come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And then he goes from there to the angels that are going to be there. He says, and to an innumerable company of angels, a great host of angels. An innumerable company, a host. It's a word that is used there. It's a word that is used there in Revelation chapter 5 when it talks about the angels, when it says there were 10,000 times 10,000. It's a word that's translated, and it uses that word twice, thousands upon thousands, thousands upon 10,000s. Revelation 5:11 says, I behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. That's a description there in Revelation about just the heavenly host of the angelic host. It's about the throne. He's saying in that new Jerusalem, he's saying in this that we are come to, that is what we have before us, an innumerable company of angels, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Verse 23, the first part where it says, to the general assembly. In first looking at that, it would appear that it was speaking of the church that is after that. But in the construction there, it's tied in with the innumerable company of angels to the general assembly. The general assembly, the word that is used there is a word for a festal assembly, like a happy, joyous assembly. And I believe that word is used there for the general assembly, it's speaking of this great innumerable company of angelic host with a joyful rejoicing, a place of joy, a place of rejoicing. One of the places that we got a glimpse of the angelic host was at the announcement at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember at the announcement to the shepherd of the birth of Christ that when that message was given, it says, then there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. The shepherds got just a glimpse of what we will have in that the city of our God, that new Jerusalem, that glorious assembly of the host that is around the throne of God. As we read that, we can only seek to imagine what it might be like. But again, it's not even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. As it goes on here, then it says, and this kind of connects and makes, who else is going to be there besides this great angelic host? It says, in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Here we come to the assembly of believers. This appears to be a statement of the position there of the church, firstborn there, denoting the not a precedence in time, but denoting the rank or that which is a particular, particularly that which is given to heirs. One commentator in his commentation on this said, the heavenly inheritance, the city of God, belongs to them as heirs. I think of in Romans, it says, if we're then children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. It said, if you suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. In this city of our God, in this city that God is the builder and the maker of it, there is where God's people are going to dwell. We will be there with him. We will be there as an heir, having that particular position, a position that's given to us, that there, I believe, as we are called the firstborn. And who is that? Who are those? It says, whose names are written. Throughout the scripture, there's a reference, isn't there, to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think of Revelation 20. Towards the end of Revelation 20, it speaks of the great white throne judgment. And in that great white throne judgment, it speaks of those who are going to be there at that judgment. In fact, let me just go there for a moment. Revelation chapter 20, and it says, verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No man will ever be able to stand before God in his own goodness, because when the books are opened, everything of your life is there. There's nothing left out. Things that you've forgotten about, but they're there. But there's another book. There's another book. There's the book of life. And I believe that's what we see here referred to in the 21st chapter of Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 27th verse. When it's talking here about this, the city, the New Jerusalem, it says, there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the Lamb's Book of Life, what a blessing. There is that book of life. And these are those that are going to be there. These are there whose names are written in the book of life. Is your name written there? Is your name in the book of life, in the Lamb's Book of Life? Throughout this book of Hebrews, We've been warned again and again. You know, there are going to be those that profess the name of the Lord that are not ones of true faith, that there's not been a true heart of faith. And so we're asked again and again, we're warned, we're told to examine our faith to make sure. We don't write that name in the book. Our Lord does. Our Lord knows the heart. He knows those that are truly His. We think of there in Matthew when that verse always comes to my mind again and again, that there are those that say, "Lord, Lord, we did this in Your name and we did that in Your name." And He says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That verse continually comes to my mind as a reminder that just a profession of the mouth is not saving faith. But there must be that heart of trusting belief, a trusting confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by faith alone, a faith that is in Jesus Christ alone. Well, he goes on here. Those are the ones that are, we see, we're going to be there. You are come, but you are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. Here, this great company of angels, and then to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Wow. And God is there. Look at the next. Look what it says there in verse 23. And to God. You see, that's tied in with the first part of 22. You are come unto Mount Zion and to God, judge of all. God, the judge of the earth, is there. And we're with Him. This one from whom the Israelites fled from His presence. How can we be in the presence of the Holy One? Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that, and I used that scripture in Revelation 20 to make us mindful that God, who is the judge of all, will judge men according to their works and cast them into the lake of fire. But there are those that aren't going there. There are those that whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And here, where we are going to be, there is God, the judge of all. The next phrase helps us to understand how we can be in the presence of a holy God. Because it says there, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. We are there because we've been justified. We are there because we have been made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." To the spirits of just men, we are just because we have been made such. We have been made, we have been brought, the word made perfect is the word for coming to a completeness. For all that God has done, the plan of ages have come to fruition, and man is now just. He's complete. He is what the way for which God created him. To the spirits of just men made perfect. As our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're there before the holy God of heaven, and we're there as those that have been made just, that have been brought to a place of a perfection by God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that I am going to be made perfect? You won't be able to find anything wrong with me. Isn't that something? Wonderful. I won't be able to find anything wrong with you. We will be just men made and women, children. We'll be just souls made perfect before Almighty God. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Does it go any further? Oh, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus, I will meet my Savior face to face. We sing that song, face to face with my Redeemer. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, I think of the first two verses of that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We recognize the oneness of the Son and the Father, that they are one, that they cannot be separated. Our God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he emphasizes that in the first part of that verse. And then he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, some of the new translations that just say many rooms kind of bothers me. I know that the word that is translated there, it's a room for, it's a word for places of dwelling. You know, I mean, that's the, but when I was reading through Revelation chapter 21 and the magnitude of the New Jerusalem, I said, it's not going to be a little room. Right. It's what God has prepared for his people. We just have to go there. And I'm going to have to, if I do that, I'll have to try to tell you a lot more than I know. But just to try to open up that passage of Scripture. But we are there because Jesus said, I want you there with me. And we're going to meet the Lord. And to Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant, he is the one. He is the one who has made me right and just and brought me and will bring me to that place and will bring me to that place of perfection. I'm not there yet, so keep putting up with me, okay? I'm not there yet, but keep putting up with me. But he is the mediator. He's going to say, he is just, and I have made him perfect. I have brought him to that place for which I created him. He's the mediator of the new covenant. What a What a blessing of what we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has completed that and finished that for which those Old Testament sacrifices were there. When we come under the new covenant and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and as we come together, we joy and we rejoice in that. Jesus, who is the mediator of a new covenant, and his blood of sprinkling. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think throughout eternity, we'll be reminded of that shed blood with which the Lord has us to be reminded now as we come, when we come to the Lord's table. We come to that which is there for each believer. And I just encourage you, each of you, as much as possible, when you're in fellowship with the Lord, when you're saved and cleansed, when the Lord's table is served, the Lord's given it for us. He's given it for us to come and partake together. Remember, but we're coming unto to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and we're coming to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know, Abel in the Old Testament, he brought a sacrifice that was acceptable unto God because he brought it by faith. The blood of that animal was acceptable unto God, but only as a covering until that perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed. So it speaketh much better things than that of Abel. Oh, we're reminded again of that verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We began this chapter with that. We need to be looking unto him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Are your eyes set today on where, as a believer, you are come? So much different than back with the Jews there and as they came to Mount Sinai. But to see where we are come, that we have ahead of us. Throughout this, we've said we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon him. This passage of Scripture gives us a little bit more understanding of when we're keeping our eyes upon him, that we, like Abraham, we're looking for a city whose builder and foundation is God. Not that is temporal, not that is going to be destroyed, but a place that God has prepared. That our Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. A place where he has for us for dwelling in eternity with him. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, the one who will bring you to completion. Just souls made perfect, shall we pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Lord, cause us to joy in thee. Cause us, Lord, to live with our eyes upon you and not upon the things of this world. And Lord, if there are those here today that would recognize my name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and those things would not be mine, oh Lord, help them to repent and come to thee in true faith, with faith that is in Jesus Christ alone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, and we're going to go to